Okay, Congress. Where are your snowballs now? Come on, bring them out. Yeah. Let's see those snowballs. Welcome to Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. I just made the word snowball sound dirty, didn't I? That wasn't actually my intention, but, you know how it is. Joining us for the first time in a bit is Luke again. How are you?
Doing well, you?
Warm, mostly.
Warm, yes.
Yeah. And Wes, how are you?
Doing good, man.
What have you been up to lately?
Oh, boy. I've been hanging out with Occupy Tacoma.
Okay.
Doing some noise demonstrations to let the people that are detained in these not cool prisons know that people are out here supporting them.
Very cool. Yeah, I know we've been talking about it a lot lately on the show because, I mean, I'm kind of staring in the general direction of where it is right now.
Right, yeah.
Both in three dimensions, actually, because it's a bit down the hill from here. And but that's not really what this show is about this week. But, you know, and you think it might be about climate, and, well, it is, kind of. Donald Trump announced the resignation of EPA Chief Scott Pruitt via tweet, otherwise known as the Blue White House, remarking that the controversial administrator has done an outstanding job. Pruitt stepped down as the target of 14 separate ethics investigations involving wide-ranging allegations that include misuse of travel funds, records-keeping violations, accepting cheaper housing from EPA and healthcare lobbyists, and spending more than $1,500 on 12 boutique fountain pens, and trying to secure a Chick-fil-A franchise for his wife using his government position. Deputy Chief Andrew Wheeler, yes, will assume the role of acting EPA administrator. Yeah, so there's that.
Wasn't there something about a swamp in some of his speeches?
Was there?
Yeah, I know, something about cleaning out a swamp.
Oh, I forget.
I remember something about a very secure phone booth essentially being $60,000 or some stupid amount of money.
Yeah, when he did the little Get Smart thing where he had the cone of silence in his...
I mean, I would have given it $60,000 if it was actually the cone of silence.
So, the weird thing about Scott Pruitt is apparently he was informed of his resignation by somebody.
Yeah.
Hey, did you know that you resigned?
LOL.
No, I don't think so. I guess.
Which I completely believe.
Oh, yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, General, what's his name, delivered the bad news.
Yeah.
Wow.
You hadn't heard that?
No, I hadn't heard that at all.
All over the news. Yeah, and the weird thing about Scott Pruitt is that in my Trump administration anti-fandom, he has kind of replaced the first communications director.
Sean Spicer.
That's it. He's kind of replaced him in my heart because he's obviously a crook and he's obviously you know, just exactly what people dislike about politicians in Washington, D.C. But he was apparently doing it on such a small scale. Like, he tried to get, a used mattress from, he tried to use his people to get a used mattress from a hotel get specific containers, like, to steal containers of moisturizer from a hotel and the sound booth. And the $1,200 and $1,500 for a dozen pens, and compared to like the kind of stuff that this guy could be doing, which I like. Okay, this is the small stuff that we're hearing about, and I kept waiting for like, oh yeah, and he also took $1 billion from Exxon or something, or he took a whole bunch of money from car makers to, you know, reduce emission standards. But if you look at this guy's record, he was going to do that anyway. They didn't need to pay him any more than they normally would.
I mean, he's doing this stuff to help big business left and right.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's also doing the equivalent of stealing Post-it notes from the office.
Yeah.
Really expensive
weird.
Post-it notes.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So, I'm guessing he's going to go on to become an oil industry
Wasn't
lobbyist.
He already?
Yeah, he's going to go back again to whatever hive he came from, and it'll be fine for him. But it's like, I kept expecting to hear, like, he's got so many ethics investigations for ethics violations.
Like 14
and
or
I
15
kept,
of them.
Yeah, according to the news brief, 14. And so I kept expecting to hear, like, a big-time thing. Like, he took millions of dollars for X, Y, or Z. And it never happened. Apparently, apparently he's just that small-minded. And that's kind of...
maybe Trump doesn't like that Scott's playing so chintzy like this.
It makes him want to pinch his cheeks and go, "Oh, you're a cute little boy." Yeah, I mean,
I mean, he did give like auto industry Big Diesel a nice little pat on the back on the way out to help basically approve engines, diesel engines, and semi trucks that can contaminate our environment up to 55 times the limit.
Well, that's just it. Is this guy was not here? The reason why Trump, with a straight face, can say he did a great job at the EPA is because his job is to destroy the EPA.
That's why he put him there in the first place.
Yeah, is to completely undermine the value of the EPA. But he wasn't even very good at that. I don't know that the EPA has gotten this much attention in years.
True. He did reduce the, or at least he tried to reduce the miles per gallon requirements, which bothers me.
He also erased basically every reference to climate change.
Oh, yes. We have a list of things here that was assembled by our news team.
Lovely.
Immediately deleted most references to climate change from the EPA website, even though, and the reason I opened it up the way I opened up this week is because we are setting heat records throughout the world, just like we did last year and the year before and the year before that. Fired independent advisors and researchers, replacing them with fossil fuel industry leads, which is nice. Was instrumental in securing the U.S.'s withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accords. I mean, I know he was going to be a part of that because that was his job, but when the president was like, "Yeah, we're going to get rid of that, it's crap. It's a bad deal," or whatever he says. I don't do a Trump. I don't. And you can read that any way you like. Lifted limits on pollutants, including lead, arsenic, and mercury, and advocated against automobile fuel efficiency standards. So that's what he did at his time at the EPA. So he did an outstanding job because he did precisely what he was there to do.
Yeah. Destroy it.
And this new knob,
Andrew Wheeler,
is going to just continue it.
Even worse, though, Scott Pruitt was a government novice coming into this. Andrew Wheeler, he's been doing this for years, working for John Inhofe. Who was actually, you know, the whole snowball thing also, like, proving that climate change isn't real because here's a snowball.
Yeah.
Moron. Goodness. But he's like, this guy has government experience. He knows how to get stuff done in there. And he's been working as a lobbyist for like the last 10, 12 years for like really not good people.
Yeah. No, totally.
Who specifically?
Andrew Wheeler. He's been working for...
Well, he worked for exactly the kind of people Scott Pruitt worked for.
Oil industry people.
Yeah, the Secretary of State worked for.
Oh, okay.
It's just from the same, he's from the same, you know, hive of you social humans that any of these people are from. Because I'm not going to use the phrase swamp, because that's just over. It's done now, it's cliche, it's hack, I'm not going to do it.
I just found out Andrew Wheeler, after leaving Congress, he worked for years as a lobbyist for some of the largest coal, chemical, and uranium countries in the U.S., including the uranium mine firm that pushed for the reduction in Bears Ears National Monument.
We salute you here at Ask an Atheist, Scott Pruitt, for being the kid stealing candy from the candy store among murderers and Russian drug lords. Yay!
Yay!
All right. Oh, boy. So, a young man in Nigeria has died after failing to be protected from gunfire by his own bulletproof magical necklace. Chinaka Adezue, who called himself a traditional healer, was shot by one of his clients in a test of the charm's powers. The man who shot Adezue was arrested for alleged murder. Adezue is the most recent victim of bulletproof charms in a region of the world where a belief in enchanted protective objects has led to several reported deaths by bullet, according to Nigerian humanist movement founder Leo Igwe.
I am trying not to chuckle a little bit.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's terrible, but...
It's wonderful that he's willing to... you know, say somebody says, "Hey, does it work?" And he's like, "Yes, let me show you."
Here, shoot me.
Right. Well, that's just it. I love the empiricism of this little, in the theater of the mind. When I was reading this story, there's this little play that played out where it's like, "Yeah, hey, I got this. Thing that'll protect you from bullets."
Yeah.
Is it a vest? No, it's a charm. You put it on. It's like a pendant. You put it on. And it protects me from bullets? Yeah, it works great. I'm a healer. It charged up with orgone and radiation and things. It's great. It's like $50. Just go. All right.
put it on.
Prove it.
What?
Put it on.
Why?
I'm going to test it.
Oh, no.
All right.
Curtain falls.
Scene.
Yeah. I don't know how to talk about this one.
delicately.
Well, like I said, I appreciate the purchaser's empiricism. I appreciate the traditional healer's ability to literally stand behind their product. I cannot believe I said that. And but it's one of those things where I guess this is how some of these beliefs are tackled, is that people are going to make these completely outlandish claims under the idea that they will never be tested. Or even worse, like back in the early days of the show, we talked about those bomb detectors that they were using in Iraq.
Cards in them, nothing.
Yeah, and there was nothing in them. And the only reason you never heard anything bad about them is because they didn't work. The people who used them tended to explode. Oh. And so I guess, you know, I guess this is a good thing, ultimately.
Sure.
Hey. I mean, it's certainly not a good thing for this traditional healer guy, and certainly not a good thing for the guy who decided to test it.
Yeah, I mean, that guy's on attempted murder charges or something?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel really bad for that guy.
For all of the comedy in the story, there's some pretty sour notes in it,
yeah.
I gotta say. And I'm just having difficulty summoning the gravitas to do it under the circumstances.
The whole region is what, under a state of civil war of some kind right now.
Okay, that helps. Okay, yeah. This is a place of a lot of you know, there's a lot of violence going on in that area. Anything you can do to counteract that violence, people are going to look at. Not a lot of aid going there, or not as much aid as there used to be going there, especially these days. And so that is prime material. Anytime there's a need, and a need that's not being filled, you're going to get hucksterism, you're going to get snake oil salesmen, you're going to get a bunch of people coming in trying to make a buck off of it. And the only reason this is funny is because somebody decided to test the product first. It would be a lot less funny if somebody bought this thing and used it as armor and then tried to protect a village of sick people, of children, and then got mowed down by you know, somebody with a gun.
Well, that the only reason we're hearing about this is because it happened,
right?
Think of all of the necklaces that have been sold and didn't protect people,
and that's the problem with these things.
We wouldn't
and that's
have heard
why
about this.
Yeah, and that's why skepticism is necessary, even though it gets a bad name a lot of the time these days.
Yeah,
this is exactly what it's for. And because really, when you're not skeptical, people literally die. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We go to the break. We come back. Kind of a bit of a chat about what's going on with Luke, actually, it seems like.
Hello. We're here to promote Squid Ink Nail Polish. The reason why you should buy Squid Nail Polish is because it makes your nails grow faster. But not all the colors are the same. Some are black and navy blue.
Some nail polish that doesn't have squid ink in it aren't as vibrant as the Squid Ink Nail Polish. Thank you for taking the time to listen to us. We are happy and hope you try Squid Ink Nail Polish. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And if you're in the Tacoma area and you happen to be hearing this on the radio, Radio Tacoma's first technical open house, run by yours truly, it will be this Wednesday at from 5 to 9 p.m. at Surge Tacoma. So if you want to work with Radio Tacoma, or you want to... want to put a show together for air on LPFM. Now's the time to, and you have some technical questions, rather. Now's the time to speak up. And you can find our event on Facebook. Just search for Radio Tacoma. So, Luke, you were scheduled to be on the show last week, I heard.
It was, I was asked about it.
Okay.
But I was already busy. I had things to take care of. So my grandmother passed away.
My condolences.
Yeah, it was back in December. We couldn't get together until my family's large and they're spread all over the place.
Yeah.
So we couldn't get back together until June, last weekend, to actually have a memorial for her. And so we all got together and did that. And hence I couldn't make it here.
So what kind of funeral was it?
It was Presbyterian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Is that your sort of were you raised in that religion, or
my father's side was raised Presbyterian, from my grandmother on to my cousins and my cousins' children. I was raised Lutheran because that came from, my mom brought us into the Lutheran family and we did Lutheran stuff.
Yeah. And you are one of the few people on the Ask an Atheist team who has kids. And I presume you're not raising them religiously.
No, I'm not.
So how did your childhood differ from, say, that of your children?
We don't go to church anymore.
That's the
big one.
Yeah.
So we
free time.
It doesn't come up often. We don't pray before meals, and we did that frequently when I was growing up.
Mm.
Religion doesn't affect our politics so much. It did when I was growing up a bit, especially on my grandfather's side.
Like, in what way? I'm actually curious about this.
There were times where my grandfather would say, hey, these things are happening to these people because of their poor political choices, like the HIV epidemic. That was a common thing.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. Well, I love my grandfather, and I loved him. He passed away last year. I disagree with him very strongly on many points.
Right. I would imagine. What did your, so you, you, so there was a, it was a service, I assume.
Yeah, we ended up going to a Presbyterian church over, near the way they lived, south of Seattle.
Okay. What did your, so you have, a couple kids. One of them is 8?
My youngest is 8, my oldest is 19. We both went, my oldest brought his girlfriend along, which was interesting because she's been staying at the house. She's from Canada, so she comes down and visits for a little bit and then goes back up. So that's awkward there.
Yeah, Canadian girlfriend.
Canadian
jokes.
Girl. I know there's a lot of jokes, but I actually met her.
I've met her too. She's real.
Well, I'm gonna pretend you're all lying. Because why not?
My son really has a girlfriend. Yeah. She's from Canada.
Okay, so you brought your whole family.
Yes.
Your two sons.
Yes.
And your older son's quote girlfriend.
Right.
Unquote. So your younger one is 8. What did he think of the service?
He was a little confused by it at first. There was some explanation that had to go into it, like on the fly explanation.
Mm-hmm.
It got interesting at times. I mean, the usual thing: don't kick the benches or pews in front of you.
Well, yeah, I had to be reminded of that.
Yeah, that's usual kid stuff.
Yeah.
Then there's him asking me questions in full voice while everybody else is quiet. So, hey, Dad, why is everyone being quiet? Why are we standing up right now?
Nice.
So I had to explain
that
to him.
That would have totally made my day.
It was pretty funny. So I had to say, hey, Jackson, you need to whisper. Everybody needs to be quiet here. And he's like, why? And that always gets to difficult to answer questions there. So how do you explain? Well, I guess we have to be respectful of the people here in the church. That's, I guess, what we need to do.
Yeah.
It's like a library.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine, like, I get, you know, you're raising your family to be non-religious, but I can't imagine this was your first, your kid's 8. This couldn't have been his first run-in with religion, I would guess.
I'm sure it's popped up from time to time with, not with our family. I mean, not with my immediate family.
Okay.
And we only see the other side once every 2 years or so.
So is this maybe his first memorial in memory?
Yeah, it
is,
definitely.
How about weddings or anything like that?
No, nothing really religious.
That's pretty much the only two
events. I mean, there's been, you know, meetings with families and you know, let us pray. And, oh, that brings up another one. So the let us pray part. So I had to get him to stand up, and immediately when he heard pray, he clasped his hands in front of his face and put his face down, you know, in a honorific manner, and just I'm like, yeah, you don't need to do that. It's fine. Look around, see what everybody else is doing. Do that.
Where do you think he picked up on that? You think?
My guess is TV or maybe advertisements. I mean, I've never been to a church that actually did that.
Oh wow.
Yeah, yeah. I've only seen it in pictures, presumably of Jesus. I've never been to a place where they did that. That was a Christian church. Anyway.
I mean, Southern Baptists, we never clasped our hands, but we always put our heads down for anything. Just like put your hands down in prayer.
My usual one was, hands together around your waist and head down. And then you look around to see who else isn't looking down.
Yeah. Well, it is a bit of an old atheist trope, is that when bows our heads in prayer, we look around to see who, where we are.
That's when you sneak a bite of turkey.
For drinking and torrid liaisons later on.
Nah.
So what kind of questions did he ask? Because I would imagine he might have, after going through something that's kind of out of your experience, that's out of your context, there might be some questions.
There was a question about why we didn't go to church. It wasn't that bad. I just said, hey, that's not what I or we believe, so we don't. It's that doesn't make sense to me. So I don't take you guys there.
Okay. And was that the major one?
That was the major one. It wasn't as complicated as I expected it to be.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what were you expecting versus...
I always worry about negative interactions between me and my family when we go to religious type, like major religious type events.
Does your family know that you're an atheist?
I've told my cousin, and I'm pretty sure she's spread that around a little bit because of the cards they get in the mail sometimes. Mm-hmm. We're hoping you... Well, I got a Father's Day card that was something about coming back to God or something like that once.
Oh.
It was weird.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, I just took it.
Yeah. Happy Father's Day, you anti-religious nut job.
Well, it wasn't even that bad. Just like we hope you find God or something along those lines.
Happy Father's Day, please don't burn in hell forever.
Something like that. I think that's
because that's better. Somehow.
That's really the one worry that side of my family has. But like, I'm non-religious, so they're worried I'm going to die and burn in hell while they're happy in heaven.
Right.
And that's the worst I've ever gotten.
That's interesting. But so no questions about, no existential questions, it sounds like. There was no questions about like, oh, it's God.
No, I didn't really do that. We had a little conversation about it. I explained what the religion is and why we don't do it. And then he was like, so why do you drive a Jeep?
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
How did you get there?
I don't know. I asked, hey, do you have any more questions? And how do you drive a Jeep? Why do you drive a Jeep?
The 8-year-old mind.
Yeah, the 8-year-old mind.
I love it.
Yeah.
But now I'm curious.
Well, I don't drive a lot, so the gas mileage isn't a huge problem for me.
Right.
And it gets terrible gas mileage.
It absolutely does.
But I enjoy going off in the back roads of the Olympic Mountains, camping out there in the state forest lines. You can do that free of charge, set up a tent somewhere and camp for the night. And I like the ability to parallel park in very tiny places.
Yeah, I can't do that. Although I am... Oh, my God. So I drive a pickup truck, and I get the same thing. Well, why do you drive a truck? Well, I have to haul heavy things around quite a bit, and I don't leave Tacoma very often, so the mileage isn't quite the same. Most of the places where I work and contract with are all within about 5 miles of each other, and or I just don't leave the house in some cases.
Then you're fine.
I can't stand somebody that will beauty queen a Jeep and just never take it off-road, but if you use it for the purpose that it was made, awesome.
That's what me and a friend are planning on doing, a Cascade trip here in June now. We're still trying to figure out the details, but we're going to go out for a few days and maybe even a week and just drive around.
Yeah.
Sweet.
It's like this is the second truck I've owned. The first truck I owned was one with the big suspension on it.
Oh, boy.
It was factory done, and people would look at me funny, like, why do you drive that?
Yeah.
I work on mountains!
It makes sense. It's
like, I have to go up them. I need something that can go up them. And sometimes there are not roads, or the roads, they are not well paved, and I need to go there. And,
I actually used to deliver pizza in a Jeep.
Oh, really?
Back in the early 2000s. I picked up my first Jeep Wrangler back in like 2003, 2004, and I delivered pizza for like 10 years in my 20s. It's a good college job, which led into a job that I could do that made enough money to support a family.
Right.
That didn't involve working for any big company. So I deliver pizza, and it was Port Orchard, you know, South Kitsap area. There's lots of dirt roads, lots of really precarious dirt roads, and delivery in the snow from time to time.
And so that, like, I can hear people going, well, if it gets terrible gas mileage, why are you delivering in a Jeep? Well, this is where this is.
Yeah.
That it was a...
It made a lot of sense.
It made a lot of sense.
I could get up roads that nobody else could get to, and if it snowed, it was so fun to drive around in.
So the rest of people driving little Civics, and you're the one getting all the business because you could get there.
Well, that's been Driving with Atheists. let's get back to Asking an Atheist. So when you had this conversation with your kid about the religious service, how much did you let your opinion sort of shine through your discussions with him?
I tried not to, but it did, because...
I imagine it'd be ultimately impossible.
It is. So at first I was like, so we don't go to church because we don't believe that. But that doesn't really take into account his beliefs at that point. He's 8, so I don't know what his beliefs are exactly. And they aren't necessarily logically founded yet.
Right.
But finally I went on to, I don't believe in religion because it doesn't make sense to me. It logically does not work. And I mean... Over my lifetime, I just gradually shed it. I didn't have any major issues growing up. It just didn't make sense to me.
Right.
It just doesn't work. And so I'm trying to show him to live a life, a good life, without religion.
Right.
And I think I'm doing okay so far.
Cool.
Your kiddo's pretty awesome. I think you are.
I want to agree, but that it would sound really disingenuous if I agreed, since I've met neither of your children nor your eldest son's Canadian girlfriend.
I love those air quotes.
I was going to bring him with me today, but he decided that he was going to stay home and watch Minecraft music videos, which are...
Minecraft music videos.
Yeah, they're a thing now.
I admit to watching a fair bit of Minecraft videos, because generally I want to figure out the vagaries of Redstone.
Right, but, Redstone's in Redstone.
Minecraft music. So are they music videos made in Minecraft? Are they music videos about Minecraft?
Both of these things.
Oh, both of these things are true.
A lot of them are adaptations of modern songs, kind of like a Weird Al situation.
Sure. Are they done with the Minecraft music blocks? Is that how they're done?
No, they just play regular music and have Minecraft scenes go by.
Okay.
So it's a music video about Minecraft with music about Minecraft at the same time.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I never would have experienced something like that as a kid.
No. Because Pac-Man. Well, I mean, I was around for Pac-Man. I can imagine that if YouTube existed in the 80s, it would have been, one, very boring, and two, all about Pac-Man.
I had a Doom 2.
Come on, that's when we still had music television.
I didn't have cable.
Neither did I. To the point where... when I wanted to watch a certain TV show, a certain science fiction TV show, I basically had to grasp the antenna and kind of play with the bunny ears in a suggestive manner in order to get Babylon 5.
Oh,
and
yeah.
this is a bit of warning transition into another news story. Prolific speculative fiction writer Harlan Ellison died last month at the age of 84. Ellison, who hated to be identified as a creator of science fiction, was well known for his novellas and stories that included A Boy and His Dog, as well as contributions to TV shows like Star Trek, The Outer Limits, and Babylon 5. Ellison was a staunch atheist, saying that the universe doesn't know we're here, and he doesn't perceive of the universe being run by any sort of a god.
Fair enough statement.
Oh, boy. Harlan Ellison. How do I talk about Harlan Ellison?
Take the good, take the bad.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is he was such a he did some writing and did some work, actually appeared in an episode of Babylon 5, which I think I've often said is one of my favorite science fiction TV shows, if not my favorite science fiction TV show. And I liked his writing, specifically I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. That short story was probably one of my favorites for a very long time.
It's a good one.
Yeah. But he's kind of everything I hated about being an atheist, all in one package. I have to admit. And it wouldn't be a discussion of Harlan Ellison if we didn't bring up some of his finer points. Sent 213 bricks, postage due, to a publisher he was having a contract dispute with.
I'm sorry, that one's just funny.
No, that's pretty good. Yeah. Sent the same publisher a dead gopher via fourth class mail.
How long would that take?
A long time.
Oh my gosh, the smell.
Yeah. Identified himself as a troublemaker, malcontent, and desperado.
True.
True, and I don't know. Broke the pelvis of an ABC TV executive in 1964 after he ran down the length of a conference room table and skidded legs first into the man.
Ow. Was the impact intentional?
This is Harlan Ellison. So of course it was. Intentional. Yeah, jeez. And then groped Hugo Award winner Connie Willis on stage, quote, "That's a joke."
Yeah. Yeah. No.
That's not okay.
That's the kind of guy he was.
Mm.
And there you have the facts of life.
Well, oh, did you really have to do that? Did you have to? Was that absolutely necessary?
I started with,
did
it,
you feel,
yes, I had to
did you feel
it.
Better? Did you get some sort of, did you get anything out of it? Or are you just in my face? What's happened? No, it's fine.
I had a crush on Kim.
Oh, you now have like infinitely broadened my horizons of the TV show Facts of Life, because previously the only thing I knew about it was a theme song. Now I know that there's a character named Kim.
There is.
In the internal wiki of the Facts of Life, is there, point one, annoying theme song, two, right, has character named Kim.
Yes.
Sub point, Wes had a crush on that character.
Same character, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That was on a channel I didn't get when I didn't have cable.
Right.
That was like ABC or something. It was one of the main three.
One of the things that Harlan Ellison would, it's apocryphal, and he took credit for it, but it was never... wasn't quite widely believed, is that he did know L. Ron Hubbard and apparently told him that, hey, if you want to make money, if you want to rack it,
science
where
fiction.
You want to be is religion.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we've all heard that one by now.
Yeah.
I've heard that. I never knew who it was attributed to.
It's been attributed to a few people. Harlan Ellison is the one, is the guy who would take credit for it because he's that kind of guy.
So got him out of the Dianetics thing and into the full-on religion thing.
Yeah. Who knows how that works out? Harlan Ellison, they broke the mold when they made you, or at least I certainly hope they did. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to the break, and we come back, we're going to talk about more dead people. And, yeah, mostly more dead people. Sorry.
Of the squid ink that is magical with its odd exotic powers by which it can grow hair, bring up your sports abilities, and make things stronger.
Squid ink is poisonous, a hazardous toxin, and is a squid's defense. This product is not okay for humans to digest. So why are we expected to spend our own precious money on this if it isn't really real?
And the answer, this Seth Olipod is pushing us to spend UA gold on worthless things.
Seth has lied about her advertisement and has false advertisement, like mosquito cure.
No more squid ink product. Stay away from Seth. Thank you and good night.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Now let's talk about trucks more. No, I lie. man. So last week, Becky was on. It was Becky and who else was Meredith and...
And Josh, I believe.
And Josh, yes. And they were talking about Dinesh D'Souza. And how he sent out tweets with like really with bigoted stuff in the hashtags, and then said, "Oh, I didn't read them all the way through," and which is what he does. And honestly, I liked the discussion that was. I'm going to do something I don't usually do on Ask an Atheist, and you guys are certainly welcome to speak up about this. But I'm gonna take issue with that little segment. I'm gonna say I think they did sort of encompass just what kind of cad, is that a right word? Cad that Dinesh D'Souza is. Like when we first started talking about him because he got pardoned by Trump, I said I he's not somebody I want to talk about on the show. And I made it like I'm not really... I did make like I didn't know who Dinesh D'Souza was that well, or I'm not well-versed on the kind of stuff that he does.
Oh, you are.
I am.
Yeah.
I really hate the guy. I just don't want to talk about him. And I don't know. What do you guys think about those tweets?
Well, I mean, in general, the dude is always an annoying piece of work.
Yeah.
His retweets that he did with the horrible comments in the hashtags, dang it, you should read those. Know what you're saying. Know what you're advertising it or rebranding and tossing out to the masses.
I'm always of the opinion that if you post stuff like that, you probably have a good idea of what's going on. And then you can just go, oh, sorry, I didn't see that. Oops.
That's just it. We need to talk about Dinesh D'Souza's target market, because his market is male and anencephalic American suffering from their large intestines. Nubbin.
I love you.
This is a guy who knows exactly what his market is.
Oh, yeah.
He knows exactly what he's doing, and he thinks he's getting one over on people when he does stuff like this. All of his movies have been Obama is a secret Muslim. Obama is the Antichrist. Obama is going to bring about the death of America. And then he's all about Trump. This is like end stage capitalism a little bit here. He spreads hate and dissension. And literally, Banks goes to the bank off of the very hate that we're trying to get, like, well, we'd like to get rid of it, but sometimes it seems like the best we can do is sweep it under the rug.
He loves to pretend with that, oh, little side winky face that I didn't mean to say all these things to people.
Yeah.
But that is totally his market. That is totally how he makes his money. And he is, yeah, totally reprehensible.
He knew precisely what he was doing. He may not be bigoted. I don't know his mind, but he's capitalizing on bigotry to make a dollar. And in a lot of ways,
That's even worse.
I'm going to do something. I wrote a letter to the Illinois Republican Party. And Becky has encouraged me to share it. I wasn't planning on it, but actually now that we're talking about hate, it's good. To the Illinois Republican Party, from Sam, regarding that guy. Hey, look, I haven't lived in Illinois for a while, but I've still got a lot of family and business there, and I pay attention. For one thing, I've always thought Illinois Republicans were a cut above, if you know what I mean. I don't mean that we agree on much. I'm some sort of dirty socialist. But at least you folks knew how to party, as it were. I get not wanting to spend a lot of money on Illinois 03. You gotta save your resources for winnable battles. But the guy in the seat looks pretty solid, even if he can only barely make it out of the primaries. Primaries are like that now. I get that. That said, I used to think you guys were better than this. I even defended you in a couple places. Instead, you let this guy go unopposed, and it looks like whatever Arthur Jones is, you got some of it on you. And that's a real shame. I actually do believe you're not into this guy. You knew you were going to have to run someone anyway if he made it out of the primary process unopposed. How much would it have hurt the collective you to find the same yob and hand them $50, a candy bar, and a kitten poster a year ago? Maybe toss them a few off-prime radio spots to build some sort of narrative? You're going to have to do that anyway, but now you're going to have to do it with an actual homegrown Nazi making it out of your primary process. People are going to call you on it, and it might hurt you elsewhere in the general election narrative. Right or not? I mean, you could have controlled the anti-fascist narrative from the start and hand the Democrats nothing, and that'd be a good place for everyone to be. I mean, it kind of writes itself. Punch 9 to say 9 to Nazis. Actually, do you guys still use those ballots? I live in Washington now, and voting by mail is exactly as exciting as waiting for mail to get delivered. Love, Sam. P.S. When you buy your independent candidate the cat poster, I suggest this one. It's cheap and has the right tone. It's an Estee. It's a Etsy. Estes? No, Estes are the rocket Etsy makers.
Yeah.
Etsy is where you buy macaroni art.
Yep.
And it's a cat in an astronaut suit that says per aspera ad astra.
I always like the one where he's hanging out the branch that says hang in there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of where I was going with that.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about it on the show, but my hometown, and even, like, I used to live in ILO 3 for a while, the 3rd Congressional District. And, yeah, the Republicans let just a Nazi, a Holocaust-denying, straight-up fascist, run unopposed in the Republican primary. And once upon a time, the Illinois Republican Party, being kind of the Republicans that you want in a certain way, I always kind of liked yelling at the Illinois Young Republicans, because I always seemed to, you know, it was an opponent you could respect, is the way I would put it.
I miss those.
Yeah. And I always kind of held the Illinois Republicans up in that respect, but now they're letting fascists run unopposed, and now we've got fascists running unopposed everywhere. And I really hate it when people would say, Donald Trump gives these people a voice and now they're going to show up everywhere. And I really hate it when they say that, because it's taking away responsibility to fascists for being fascists, for bigots to being, you know, it's like, it's not the bigot's fault they're a bigot. No, it's their fault.
No, yeah.
But it does appear to be happening. I mean, it's kind of hard to say that it isn't.
Here in America, it would be a great start if, you know, I want to run for a candidacy. I'm going to be take the seat here. Okay. First question you ask, are you a fascist? Are you a Nazi? No. Okay. Yeah. You know, box ticked.
Yeah. Hey, is it still on the naturalization forms? Are you now, or have you ever been a member of the National Socialist Party of Germany?
I'm not sure about that one. There were some communist checks back in 2005. I know that.
That's true. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a good jumping off point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. Yeah. Why wouldn't they at least force him off the Republican ticket? Like, hey.
Well, I think there's something in saying that they can't. And particular IL-3 has been in Democratic hands for like close to a century, and it's been in one family's particular hands for a good chunk of that time. And so I could see why the Republican Party wouldn't want to spend a lot of money there.
Sure.
But like I said, $50, a handshake, and a cat poster. Go forth and conquer. Build your narrative. Just get more votes than the actual Nazi. That's all we're asking. Get more votes than the Nazi. That's it. Why is that such a hard thing? Especially now in ILO3, they said they're going to run an independent candidate against him. The Republican Party is clearly, because they're not idiots, are pulling away from this candidate. They're not going to fund him. They're not going to endorse him. They're going to find some independent candidate to run in his place, or to run against him for second place, because they're not going to win. Why didn't they just do this a year ago?
Right.
Why did they support him in the first place, or let him run as a Republican?
Why did they let him run?
Unopposed.
I don't even. Yeah, it's not that they let him run. Let everybody run. That's fine. It's letting him run unopposed. That's it. He was the only name on the ballot, and you're going to get 5 or 10 people who go, I don't know who that is, but he's a Republican. Check. And that's not a mark against the Republicans. There's plenty of Democrats who do that. Are they a Democrat? Great. I don't care if they believe that Wi-Fi gives us alien brain cancer. If it's got a D at the end of the name, they're going to check it. That's that's what we're dealing with here. And that's no... I mean, that's an insult to your idea of knowing who you're voting for, but I'm not going to necessarily blame individual Republicans or even state-level Republican parties for that.
I'm not going to blame somebody for just voting their ticket.
The straight ticket.
Yeah.
I think it's dumb, but whatever.
Yeah.
Ud from Norway writes, I was wondering, what do you think about keeping fish as pets?
Oh, I love fish as pets.
Oh, great. I thought this was going to fall on its face, but it's saved. It's all on you now.
All right.
I don't know how much about fish biology. Superficially, I don't like the idea of it because they're being kept in much smaller bodies of water than what they would exist in naturally. But maybe they're fine with it. I don't know. I find it easier to relate to mammals. Go ahead and take this one.
Okay, so I understand the confining them to smaller spaces. That bothered me a little bit. But usually you get tiny little fish that are maybe, you know, a few centimeters long, and you get at least a 30 to 40 gallon tank.
Yeah.
So I started off that way. I had a lot of small fish as a child, and it was really something I enjoyed as a kid. So when I had my first son, I got a fish tank.
Mm.
It was a little 30 gallon tank, and we had some small little fish. And then I was like, I'm going to try some bigger fish and see what happens. So I put some bigger fish in that tank. That was too small. So then I went on Craigslist and found a 75-gallon tank, and that's a lot of water.
It is.
And I started getting bigger fish. Excuse me. And so finally ended up with an Oscar, which are like swimming dogs. They're my favorite. They just make a huge mess in the tank, and 75 gallons is on the border of too small for an Oscar. So I created a secondary tank to increase the total water mass with a siphon and a pump. So I ended up having like 100 gallons of total water volume for this one Oscar and a plec. And it was a really fun pet to have. They usually stayed in their tank. When they didn't, that was bad. And the Oscar was a very energetic and interactive fish. It loved being fed. You keep the water clean and it stays healthy. There are a lot of ways to treat it if something goes wrong. But as far as pets go, fish are like my go-to. If I want to get a pet again, it's probably going to be a fish.
Well, first, I'm going to stick with a cat. Just one, because Wally's the best. Second, I've always viewed fish more as like Dory, where they have a really short-term memory. I don't think that they are really aware of their surroundings
that they are.
I always think of like this, the small, tiny fish in like fairly large tanks.
Yeah.
I don't really have a problem with keeping fish as pets, as long as they're in a reasonably sized confined area.
My Oscar got to be about 12 inches long before it decided it didn't want to live in the tank anymore.
Oh, boy. Mm. Did it just, like, jump?
It jumped out in the middle of the night, and, you know, it had done that a couple times during the day, and I managed to pick it up. It has spines, so that was painful.
Yeah.
put it back in the tank, and this time it did it at night, and it managed to get about 20 feet from the tank all the way to the front door when I found it in the morning. But as a pet, it was awesome. It would, like, see you coming towards the tank, and you could play with it. And if when you were feeding it, it just started swimming around super excited. And
I know Dan, who has been on the show a bit and does our For Science segment, has a carp, a goldfish, that is the size of a truck and is 900 years old. And it seems to enjoy its life. Yeah, but carp don't move around a whole lot when they get bigger.
Right. They'll grow to the size of their tank allows them to.
Carp are really interesting fish.
They are.
I actually find them kind of fascinating. However, I also have to agree a little bit that I identify a little bit more with mammals. We got a cat.
Right.
We got a cat this week.
I'd rather a fish on my plate than in my...
Guys, I got a cat this week.
I saw it. It was an awesome
yeah,
cat.
Yeah, I have a cat.
It's a cat. It's a cute little pumpkin.
It really likes me. So we went to the Humane Society. Becky saw this cat and was like, I want to look at that one. I'm like, okay, all right, yeah, we'll look at that one. And I'm being noncommittal because I'm really it's Becky's choice because we're replacing Starbuck. And volunteer brings this kitten in. She's like 8 or 9, well, somewhere between 8 and 11 months old. Puts her down on the table and she immediately just sort of walks up to me and sits on me, in that time frame. For as long as it took me to explain it, that's about the time frame it happened in. And it's been kind of that ever since. So I have a new cat. I have a new cat. Anyway,
right.
I like fish. Actually, we were going to have a fish tank in here. We were going to get, in the studio, I was going to get a fish tank and I would still like to, you know, those genetically engineered fish that have like the phosphorescent, genes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're zebra fish. I was going to have those GMO fish in my, atheist den. Basically, that was what I was.
That would be
do.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I planned on eventually going to a full saltwater setup with like 300 gallon above tank and like a 100 gallon sump.
Wow.
And it's one of the reasons I chose to get a split level because the concrete floor can handle that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also decided to try to simplify my life a bit, and that's a lot of work. So maybe when my kids finally move out, I'll get a saltwater tank and a dog.
So I promise dead people. We're talking about pets, which is nice. So now we have to talk about dead people.
Mm.
Japan has executed 7 members of a cult that carried out the deadly sarin attack in the Tokyo subway system 23 years ago. The Aum Shinrikyo group, led by Shoko Asahara, has been convicted of murdering 13 people and injuring thousands more when they released the poison into the underground in a terrorist attack in 1995, and had been suspected of carrying out a similar attack that killed 8 in 1994. They also attempted to kill more by releasing hydrogen cyanide in a separate attack. The Aum Shinrikyo's cult attack was an attempt by Asahara to elevate souls to a higher spiritual stage in advance of doomsday, when they believed those not killed by the cult would go to hell. Asahara, whose given name was Chizuo Matsumoto was one of the 7 individuals executed. So I'm going to have an otter pop. You guys go ahead and talk about it.
Okay.
Well, I know Japan only kills under, like, 10 people or under every year. That was a odd tidbit I found about
this. I actually didn't know that until just now. I was assuming that they were a non-execution state, but I was wrong.
Yeah, very much. Just very few. Yeah, these people, this group, I mean, they are very, I don't know, a weird mixture of, like, you were saying, like, a Christian and Buddhist.
Keep going.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, they're a weird mixture of Hinduism, Buddhism, and Revelation Christianity, which, you know, makes for a great mixture of crazy.
Yeah, they borrow from, sort of borrow from Buddhism, borrow a lot from Christianity, because with Christianity you get the free messianic figure.
Right.
And then, they actually pull from Nostradamus a little bit.
Yeah.
And they had a fairly active cult. Like, it's still active. Yeah. It's split still, in two. It's still active today.
They had a schism.
They had, well, yeah.
They were so violent that one of their members in 2002 ran to North Korea to hide from them.
Yeah. There was somebody who was an active anti-cult person, like, in Japan, speaking out against them, and the cult had them killed.
Yes.
Like, I played the funny sound effect, and this funny sound effect sounds like this. That's from a PC 9800 game that was made after, they were put in prison. It was like, I don't know. But one time, and this is sort of an insight into my brain. One time, I read up about cults. We all know this about me, right? Do I need to do my usual thing?
No,
And I found out that they made a video game about this cult. And I played the video game video. There's a YouTube playthrough, and I played the YouTube, and then fell asleep. And now whenever I talk about this cult, I hear... Because that's the soundtrack. It's absolutely crazy. It is weird. I didn't, like, when people talk about execution in the United States and whether or not it's moral, they always say that, you know, we have moral equivalency with Liberia and a bunch of other countries that, you know, people don't like. They never mentioned Japan, like, to the point where I also thought Japan did not execute criminals until literally yesterday or the day before yesterday. Hmm. When I found out that these guys had been executed.
Yeah. And the people on death row don't even find out that they're being killed until basically that morning, usually an hour or two before.
Wow. Okay. That's
so they've been on death row for almost 25 years.
Right. It's one of the worst cults that have, you know, we make fun of Scientology, but Scientology didn't sarin a subway station. So
There are quite a few countries that have them on a terror list.
Yeah.
And Japan had them actively monitored up until 2017.
Yeah. They're still monitoring one half of the group. The group split into two.
They're monitoring the non-schismatic half.
Yeah.
Who they're monitoring. This video game, I'm gonna include a link to this video game, but I wanted you guys to get a little piece of, like, I'm talking about death and destruction and sarin gassing and assassinations and, like, literally all of the worst aspects of religion are to be had, are available in the narrative of this cult, whose leader has now been executed. And it's really serious. It's one of the most destructive religious stories that we could really bring up in the last 25 years. And what happens in my brain? Every freaking time.
Was this game just serious cash grab? Like, was it really
nobody
horrible?
Knows, and it's all in Japanese, and I don't speak Japanese, and it hasn't been translated, so I don't know what it's about. And there's a lot of text. It's like a role playing game.
Oh, that looks good for the time.
It's PC 9800. It's a PC 98, which is a 8086 based personal computer. It runs MS-DOS, but it runs a weird version of MS-DOS, and it has 2 graphics processors. So the graphics were actually pretty good for the era of the hardware, but when this game was released, that hardware was already fairly aged. So, and there's a question whether or not this was written by supporters or detractors of the game, because, like, the good game, you know, it has a good ending and a bad ending. The good ending, Shoko Asahara, like, rules the world, and in the bad ending, nuclear war and zombies. And yeah.
Right.
So that makes me think support.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? I would need to see I would need to understand what was being said in order to make a sense of that. But unfortunately, that's all the time we've got for today. Always in on dead people, I guess. Our phone number is 844-753-7842. Our email address is questions@atheist.radio. Our Twitter is AskAnAtheistWA. Thank you, Luke.
No problem.
Thank you, Wes.
You're welcome.
See you guys next week.